I'm the Ninja Fat Man from the Doom Ninja Podcast, a proud member of the Gunna Geek Network, just like the show you're listening to now. The opinions expressed are those of each individual host. Check out all the other podcasts at GunnaGeekNetwork.com and get ready because geekiness begins in 3, 2, 1.
Welcome to Better Podcasting, a show where we talk about podcast tips, tools, and best practices to help you succeed with your podcast. What makes us different? Well, just like you, we podcast purely out of the love and fun of it. Podcasting is our hobby, and we recognize that it's yours too. We always encourage your questions and feedback, and you can find all of our contact information at betterpodcasting.com. Here's your host for the show, Stephen John Drew and Stargate Pioneer.
Hello and welcome to episode 58 of Better Podcasting. My name is Stephen John Drew, and with me today is, of course, the star of the show. This is Better Podcasting, starring Stargate Pioneer.
Ladies and gentlemen, I am back in the studio. Of course, I was back last week, but only for a few hours. I am back now for the remainder of 2016. Looking forward to getting some great podcasting on. And thank you very much, guest star, generic Stephen J.
That's me. If you want a generic name in your podcast, use the name Stephen J. How's it going this week, SP? I know it's the weekend. You're getting back into the swing of things. You're getting used to podcasting again. It's like you're a new podcaster, right?
It is. I'll tell you what. Whenever you leave your studio for any length of time and then you come back and then you have forced software pushes, updates, and then you have hardware that may or may not be working. This has been a fun year for the Stargate Pioneer Studio. And yes, indeed, we had some issues running into this, but it's great to actually be on mic, be on camera, and getting rolling, talking to people about podcasting, because we got a lot of shared knowledge to share and get out with everybody, get that knowledge out to everybody, because we have some interesting topics to talk about today that affect you, whether you're a hobby podcaster or a pro podcaster, really.
Yeah, no, absolutely. We're going to talk a little bit of continuing on our editing arc, of course, and then we're going to tell you a little bit about something that it's a bit of a company, a larger company that you may or may not have your podcast files on. And there's an update that you're definitely going to want to know about, because if you are using this company, there's a lot of writing on that wall. Well, let's just put it that way. Tons of writing on the wall. But if you do listen to your podcast, which I hope that you do listen to your podcast, you might need yourself a brand new pair of headphones. And this is something that SP and I can help you out with. We are giving away a pair of brand new Audio-Technica ATH M40X headphones. They are unopened in the box. These are a pair of headphones that we are giving away. This is not a sponsored contest by any means. This is something that we like them that much. Now, if you have listened to our show before, you watch the video side of things, you might actually see that I'm not using these headphones as we speak. However, they are my travel headphones. And just past week, I was away traveling. I brought them with me, and they are incredible headphones. You know, like I've said it before, I like mine just a little bit better, but that's just for me. You know, the thing that I really like about the ATH M40s is their noise reduction is incredible too. So if you're in a noisy environment, they work super well with reducing the noise. And I was using them on airplanes and on trains and things like that, and it just works super well. And if you are editing, they should give you a pretty close sound to what people will be hearing. So absolutely, if you want to enter, contest at betterpodcasting.com. That's how you can enter. And we're running this until the end of 2016. There's just a couple of quick things that SP is going to tell you you need to enter with.
You do. When you get a hold of us at any of our contact information places, whether it's email, Twitter, or Facebook, go ahead and tell us, how do you monitor now? How do you listen to your podcast, whether it's a live stream broadcast or whether it's recorded? How do you listen to it? Do you use headphones? Do you use in-ear monitors? Do you use speakers? Do you use monitor speakers? Whatever it is, let us know. And then tell us what show you're on. That's it. That's all you have to do. and get that information to us by midnight, your time zone, December 31st, 2016. You'll be entered in to wear these headphones. I'm actually wearing them now. If you're watching the YouTube video, you will see I will turn my head a little bit while still maintaining that proximity to the microphone so you can hear me. These are the ATH M40X. Really enjoy them. They're very comfortable, very light. They don't get too hot as comparison to some of the other headphones that I've tried. They're very good. And the most important part is they are free to you as long as you enter. And we will choose a name out of that hat or however we choose to do it. We haven't picked that up. Just a little disclaimer. This contest is not supported by Audio Technica. It's not even supported by the Good Geek Network, but it is given to you by Stephen J, generic name, and Stargate Pioneer of BetterPodcasting.com.
Absolutely. But let's go ahead and move into our main topic. Here we go. All right, so as I mentioned, we're doing our second part of our editing arc, and the reason why we want to do that is because we've said it before, we'll say it again, we think that you should edit. There's a lot of benefits to editing, for sure, and there's different types of editing, and if you didn't catch that last episode, please go back to episode 57, because we actually break down two different styles of editing that SP and I both do. We do separate ways of editing, and we wanted to share that with you, so check that out in episode 57. But today, we're going to give you some meat, some substance, and we're going to actually share with you a few different things that during the editing and the post-processing process, you actually might end up doing. And we're going to share some samples, because the thing is, a lot of times people on different podcasts talk about doing this, that, and the other, and they do it so generically, but they don't really help you understand, as a hobby podcaster, as somebody who maybe hasn't done a lot of editing, what the heck do they mean? So we're going to actually share some samples with you today. Isn't that right, SP?
We are. We're going to get more specific with our samples here, and we're going to get you the actual sounds of what they will sound like in different ways of doing it. And just want to be upfront with everybody. You may not be able to hear some of the subtle differences if you're in a car or if you're in a loud like subway train or in a noisy gym and not on good headphones or good speakers monitors. So if you have more questions or you want to make sure that you're hearing these subtle differences a little bit more pronounced, make sure you listen in a quiet environment or on a good pair of monitor speakers or headphones. But most of them, you should be able to tell some little differences. But definitely, these are things that as Stephen was making these clips, I went to listen to them. I'm like, yep, got that. Yep, got that. Yep, got that. That's all important stuff. So this is really exciting to be able to show you via audio what good and bad editing sounds like.
For sure. Now, the first thing that we want to talk about is something that a lot of people do miss, and we're actually big advocates of it, because it does make quite the difference, especially when you're using a lot of technology which is analog. We've talked about before how a lot of times you get line noise and things like that within your shows and within your chains, and so the noise reduction is something that a lot of different software has. And now even basic Audacity has it, but here's the thing, you got to be careful with it, because a lot of times the way it works is you grab a certain sample and you tell it to remove that. Now, some other programs such as Adobe Audition, you just go in and you tell it how much do I want to remove, and it's a little bit smarter. But in any case, if you do too much noise reduction, you'll end up hearing something fairly distorted. Now, we do use noise reduction on all of our shows, and we do it to a level that it helps clean it up. But sometimes you hear a little bit depending on the person, because we don't want it to sound distorted. And that's what we're going to show you today, is a bit of a difference between that. Now, if you are in a situation where you're recording very loud, you know, maybe there's tons of background noise, or maybe you've just screwed up and you have accidentally left a ton of hiss in there, well, you're going to want to back off the noise reduction a bit, because like I said, it will sound very distorted and it doesn't yield a very good experience.
This is one of my key pet peeves when it comes to listening to a podcast is the noise level in the background. And you will know what you're listening to when you hear a lot of white noise. And this is when it's supposed to be in a studio, like the, you're like, oh my gosh. And people think they're masking it by turning down their volume because, oh, I don't hear it anymore. Well, in the car or wherever I am in the gym or whatever, I'm going to have to turn up that volume and I'm going to hear that noise regardless of how you try to mask it to get a quieter product. And we don't discuss it today, but there are broadcast standards of how loud you should be when you produce your audio file. Steven, we'll have to talk about that sometime in the future. So basically, in a sense, you have that, just background noise. But also, if you go out to a public place like a convention and you're recording a panel or you're in a coffee shop recording an interview or anything in public, some of that audio, and you want to make it sound like it's in a studio, it's not going to happen. Some of that ambiance is going to need to be in there. You can reduce it, but if you reduce it too much, it will sound like you're underwater. So there is a limit to what sort of noise reduction you can do in the studio and in public. Also, I just want to say that the number one thing to do to limit noise, background noise in your product is to limit it in the line noise, the actual recording before it gets to your recording, before it gets to your recorder, whether that's a PC or a portable recorder. So that's the number one thing, because you're never going to get rid of that noise that's overlaid while you're talking. It will always be there.
Absolutely. So I'm going to go ahead and play you three clips right now in a row. And what I've done is I've taken a section from last week's episode of myself and I've actually added noise in. I've added line noise in. I had a little extra blank track that was recording and it had some line noise and I enhanced it. And you're going to hear there's actually quite a bit of line noise apparent. And I would never, ever record with my track sounding like this. But for the demonstration purpose that we're going to do today, you're going to hear it in there and it's going to allow you to hear what happens when I apply a little bit of light noise removal and then give you a sample on when you kind of take it too far. So the first clip is just the clip so you have the reference. The second has a bit of light noise removal and the third has way too much. So let's go ahead and play it right now. All right. So for our main topic, what did I tease? What is it? What is it that Steven and SP say you should always do? Editing. It's editing. All right, so there's that, and then we'll go with the light noise removal. All right, so for our main topic, what did I tease? What is it? What is it that Steven and SP say you should always do? Editing. It's editing. And now here is the heavy noise removal. All right, so for our main topic, what did I tease? What is it? What is it that Steven and SP say you should always do? Editing. It's editing. So you'll hear the noise removal was terrific in the end there. You know, you couldn't hear the hiss at all, but I sounded underwater. And that's the problem. Sometimes people push it too far. But in that middle there, you know, if I was to do it, that middle sample that I had would probably be what I would release it at. It was enough removed that it was no longer distracting, but it was still there, so I didn't sound underwater. So it's all about finding the balance. And sometimes with Audacity, where you're actually going in and selecting a different section or a section to sample, you might have to bump around in your track a little bit. So, you know, you might find in one point your background is super noisy. Well, maybe you don't want to take that as your sample. Maybe what it is that somewhere along the way, there was just a little bit of noise. And so you want to use that as your baseline. So play around, take samples from different spots. If all of a sudden you're sounding underwater, play with different spots and you might find that it yields a better result.
The too much is by far the biggest issue in this. You can do light, you can do heavy, but if you do too much, it is going to affect your sounds and it's just going to sound bad. And if you're an audiophile, and there are audiophiles out there, either there are other podcasters or there are people that just don't want to listen to crap and they will tune you out based on it. So it's just a very, you'll get more experienced over time. It's a very delicate skill to learn how much line noise is in your recording, how much can you get out through hardware means, and then how much can you get out through software means. So go back, listen to this on the final recording. You're going to definitely hear the differences on good speakers or good earphones, and then tell us which ones that you would prefer to hear, or why you wouldn't want to hear certain ones, like too much noise in there, I don't want to hear, and then too much noise reduction, I don't want to hear. So that's just me. But we have a lot of other things to go through, and talking about noise or background noise, there's this thing called gating, and you can either do hardware gating or software gating. And gating is basically a process that mutes the track while it is not receiving a noise of a certain level. So you can do it via hardware, and both Steven and I do hardware gating using our DBX 286S's. Mm-hmm. But we also do, I don't know, but Steven, actually, we haven't talked about this in a while. I do software gating, especially on the tracks of my co-hosts on my other podcasts. And I make sure that I try to take out as much of the keyboard clacks, the breaths, the heavy breathing for that. And stuff like that. So it's not distracting.
Like that?
Right. And some of it, you're just going to have to mute out of the track as you go along, the way I edit. And sometimes you just leave it in like Steven does. But the gating is the second part of that noise removal. You can do noise removal in Audacity if you're a hobby podcaster. And then you can also do noise gating. I use this plugin called Nyquist Noise Gate, and that works just fine for me. There's other plugins out there or whatever, but basically it's a software version of doing the same thing in the recording afterwards. I will say, if you provide too much hardware gating in your recording, you're going to cut off sounds that should be there anyway. So you have to be very careful about the hardware gating, because you can always software gate later.
Yes. Now, with software gating, there are a variety of different settings. And again, this is something you're going to have to experiment with for your specific setup, because different people have different trigger points depending on who's talking or how quiet they talk or how loud they talk. So there's different settings in there. Now, what you're going to see now is I got two clips for you. It's the same bass as before. I try to limit how many times you have to hear me say the same thing. But what I've done is I've gone and I've prepared one that has a little bit of gating to it. And then I've got one that has way too much. And what happens is, if you end up setting your gate to close essentially too quick, what works well is all of a sudden you're not hearing that background noise, you're not hearing the chatter. But what accidentally happens is, as SP said, you're kind of cutting yourself off, because it's essentially going mute, 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 mute really quick. So you got to be careful with that. And that's what you're going to hear in the second sample. Now, in the first sample, what you want to pay attention to is, when I finish talking, I've left the hiss in there because I think it's a great reference for you to hear what happens when it gates. What will end up happening is you'll hear the hiss a little bit after I finish, and then all of a sudden it's gone. So pay attention to both of those there. And I'm just going to play the samples so you can get a real world examples of what happens when you gate at a reasonable level versus gating too much. So here we go. All right. So for our main topic, what did I tease? What is it? What is it that Steven and SP say you should always do? Editing. It's editing. So there you go. So there's the example of the light gating. And now here is too much. All right, so for our main topic, what did I tease? What is it? What is it that Steven and SP say you should always do? Editing. It's editing. So the annoying part that I find with that too much gating is actually the hiss coming in and out, because it's distracting. So, you know, a lot of people have this tendency to be like, well, if I'm not talking, I don't want to hear anything. Well, that is very distracting, and you almost want it to go a little bit past when you finish talking, especially if you're on a two-person podcast, because they'll kind of offset each other out. Like, all of a sudden, if I started to gate myself when I finished my point here and SP started to talk and his track opened, they kind of naturally mix together so that one hiss is fading as the other's coming in, and it's not as distracting to the listener. But when you're doing it so heavy there, it sounds choppy almost. So you got to be very careful with your gating.
The one other thing that I noticed with hard gating is that if you have an S sound that's trailing off, or a TH sound that's trailing off, or an F sound that's trailing off, you will cut that out with the software gate, because if you're gating too much, you will cut those out. You will cut out beginning of words with the similar sort of thing. So it's a low noise that you're actually using in your speech that you will cut off. So it's not only hiss, it's actually with hard gating, you might, if you're applying too much, you might cut those off as well.
For sure. Okay, so that's all we're going to talk about with gating, because we've kind of illustrated our point there. What's another thing that people sometimes do in editing? Well, this is compression. Now, we have talked briefly about compression, and essentially, to dumb it down, the way compression works is you're evening out everything. So you're setting a certain level and it's evening it all out. Now, people are going to write me and they're going to be like, no, Steven, you're wrong. Well, you know what? For people who don't really dive too much into it, yeah, that is what it essentially does. And it's the easiest way to explain it. So there is a whole bunch of technical stuff that you should actually, if you're going to really play with compression, you should look into to help you understand what you're doing. But with compression, I've got three clips here that I'm going to show you here to illustrate compression. And what I've done is it's sort of the same thing. You can take it too far. The first clip I'm going to play is just a clean recording so you can get the reference. Then what I'm going to do is play you one where I've applied a little bit of compression, kind of like what I would do on this very show. And then the last one is going to be too much, and you're going to see some interesting things that come out of it. Now, what you're going to notice with compression is that the whole sound changes, because again, you're evening things out. So things that might usually be a little bit lower within sort of what you hear, i.e. if I have a very bassy voice, you tend to hear more of the bass. Or if I have a more nasally voice, just naturally that nasally sound comes out. When you add compression, maybe things flip a little bit. So you're going to hear this in here, and then we'll talk a little bit about it, because compression is something that SP and I have been quite interested to see how it has affected different results. So let's go ahead and play the first one, which is the sample. All right, so for our main topic, what did I tease? What is it? What is it that Steven and SP say you should always do? Editing. It's editing. All right, and here is the reasonable amount of compression. All right, so for our main topic, what did I tease? What is it? What is it that Steven and SP say you should always do? Editing. It's editing. And now here's the one where it's just a lot of compression. All right, so for our main topic, what did I tease? What is it? What is it that Steven and SP say you should always do? Editing. It's editing. So let's talk a little bit about first the reasonable one. What you started to hear was all of a sudden there was my line noise present, because I didn't apply any noise reduction to that. So in the first clip, you didn't hear a lot of noise, but if you do have headphones on, you might hear there's a little bit more noise in there. Then with the extreme, what you hear is multiple things. Number one, that hiss is ridiculously noticeable, but all of a sudden you can hear my room. You can hear the echo. It's insane how much you can hear my walls with that compression. Plus, I sound like I'm like almost muffled. So it's really an example. A lot of times people are like, okay, well, let's just add compression. Let's go with the default. But it doesn't work for their setup because they're just compressing too much. So be very careful, because this is a great example on how you might bring out artifacts and qualities that you don't want.
I was very impressed, by the way, Steven, that you were able to get that amount of compression in the overcompression. I was like, yeah, I don't even think the tool goes that far. And it didn't. Steven actually did several different passes to get that much compression. But it does overlay the fact that if you apply too much compression, you're going to get an unlistenable thing. And this goes to show you from my perspective, when I have co-hosts, and the co-hosts might be fiddling around with their settings. So one week I might get a recording that it works fine at certain levels, and over time I just dial those in. Well, one week went by, and this happened a few times in 2016, and I just applied the normal amount of compression that I normally did, and it sounded like crap. I'm like, oh my gosh, it was because a co-host had put in a new hardware, piece of hardware equipment or change their setup a little bit, and what I was doing wasn't working anymore. And it might have been that I just needed to level their track. I didn't even need to compress it. And it is something that you have to listen to. Vote with your ears is the saying that I've heard quite often. So don't apply too much compression, but too little compression. And for a vocal podcast, you might have too much dynamic range. Now, if you're actually doing a music podcast, you want a lot of variables in your loudness, in a lot of dynamics. You want the soft parts, you want the loud parts. In a vocal, no, you want it the same volume the entire time, because you don't want people fiddling with their volume controls, especially like I got one of those new iPod Nanos with the actual screen controls. That's the only control on it. It's hard to turn the volume up and down unless you're doing it with your earphones or trying to reach over into the volume control. So as it's on your arm in the gym. So the next part that we want to display to you is something that I refer to as audio magic. It is EQ or equalization. Most people that podcast, not all, but most have a mixer. So you're actually looking, if you have a mixer, at the different parts of EQ in the low band, the high band, the mid band, whatever. And that's what we're talking about, except for electronic EQ, you can get specific into bands. Say you have a whine, for instance, in your podcast, you can take that entire little band, you can analyze that band of whatever that whine is, and you can take it out of your entire podcast recording. So it's anything from that to increasing bass, to increasing the clarity of the mids or the loudness. That's what we're talking about with EQ. Mm-hmm. And with that, I'm going to turn it over to the expert, because I am not the EQ expert.
I'm not an expert by any means. I was wondering if we had a special guest here or something. But
another one?
Yeah, no, the EQ is actually something that a lot of times people don't really realize can have such a big impact on their sound. And the reason why it has a big impact is because, like SP said, you're changing things around. Now, where this can actually work really well is if you want to make a certain microphone sound a certain way, a lot of times you can bring them close. Now, I firmly believe you're never going to get them spot on, but you can bring them a heck of a lot closer. For example, if I wanted to take one of the microphones behind me and make it sound more like my BP40, I could do that. I could bring it closer. So you could absolutely do that. And with enough time, you can get it pretty close. Again, you'll never get it spot on. But here's the problem with EQ is a lot of people have it on their board. You know, they've got a sound mixer and there's three different knobs, a bass, a mid and a high, and they're like, I want to sound all radio-y, let's just turn up the bass, and they turn it right up, and then they sound terrible. And that's something that you got to be careful of, because EQ is very finicky. And here's the thing with EQ, especially, depends on what you're listening to it on. If you are turning up the bass quite a bit so that you hear it, and your headphones that you're listening to kind of suck in the bass department, what's going to happen, you're going to have to push it so far that you end up hearing it, but guess what? The people who actually have bass in their headphones hear way too much. So it is a very finicky thing. And I'm going to share a couple examples with you on EQ. And I took a sample that I had, and I have played with EQ a lot in the past. Like back when I used really bad microphones, I used to EQ quite a bit so that it sounded a certain way. I actually, a lot of the times I take the people who aren't using big dynamic microphones with DBXs dialed in, like if they're coming on the different shows, a lot of times I have some EQ set up for them so that they get a bit of enhancement. So I've played a little bit with EQ before, and the sample that I've got for you here, I think you may have heard this before. You might have heard the sample before, but what you're going to hear is comparing the bass line. So essentially nothing really applied to it. Then you're going to end up hearing, I've added a little bit of EQ, and I want you to listen. You might hear a little similarity to something we did earlier. And then I've gone and I've applied wrong EQ just to demonstrate how bad it can go. So let's go ahead and play the example first. All right. So for our main topic, what did I tease? What is it? What is it that Steven and SP say you should always do? Editing. It's editing. All right, now here's a little bit of EQ, and again, this might not be exactly what I would do if I was going to use this on a weekly basis, but it shows a little bit of the change. All right, so for our main topic, what did I tease? What is it? What is it that Steven and SP say you should always do? Editing. it's editing. And the last one, again, don't do this. Let's just say don't do this.
All right. So for our main topic, what did I tease? What is it? What is it that Steven and SP say you should always do? Editing. It's editing.
So, yeah, that's an example of somebody going, oh, let's add the bass, too much bass. So absolutely don't do that. And what I found was quite interesting in the second clip was I went and I enhanced a little bit of the low end and a little bit of the high end, just a little bit. And I heard a difference. It also reminded me a lot of what happened when I added compression. So that's the sort of the similarity that I found there.
Yeah, the third one where you had bass, what happened is because you didn't add any high end at all to compensate, you didn't sound clear at all. It sounded very muddled and it sounded just like a low rumble. Say if you're in a mechanical room at work or maybe your apartment or whatever, all you hear is that
yes.
of the HVAC, or maybe, you know, standing next to a working vacuum or something. That's all you hear. That's what excessive bass will do. So you don't want too much bass. I know a lot of people like bass. They like the reverberation in their chest. They like that they feel like full sound, but without that top end and with too much bass, it just sounds very poorly and you wouldn't want to be listening to it long term. Different microphones, by the way, do that inherently. If you have a poor microphone to start off with, like say if you have a Rock Band microphone,
yes.
You just won't have the proper EQ out of that as you go along. That's why we are proponents of better microphones like the Audio-Technica AT2005 to start out with. So there are pluses and minuses to EQ. You've heard them. Mm-hmm. You've heard good EQ. You've heard bad EQ. Apply very sparingly, but if yes. you want to sound clearer and if you want to sound more full, you can apply to a little EQ. And I would recommend applying EQ in software versus hardware. So if you do have a mixer, just line it straight up and down, no add, no subtraction, and then do it in post.
I agree. And I've got one more footnote on here is that I find in my experience, you know, as you may be familiar, I've got a little bit of experience using some different microphones. I find that different microphones often do have different EQ ability is what I'll call it. For example, the SM58, I've talked about it before. The Shure SM58 is the microphone, my first quote unquote big boy microphone that I bought. I actually find it doesn't EQ in the higher end anywhere near as well as the AT2005 or the Blue Encore 100. So I definitely find more hiss starts to come out quite quickly with that. So different microphones do EQ differently. And what SP said, do it software because you might have to hear it a few different places and a few different times to realize that you screwed up. So then at least you can go back and fix it as opposed to using something that is just recorded bad.
So now we've got two more areas left that we want to talk to you about. And one is actual editing. It is what I will call rough cut versus a blended cut. And sometimes people think it's editing, but it's not. And I've recently heard some big time podcasts that do this, in my opinion, wrong. But it's like I said, it's my opinion. If they're getting away with it and they're still getting the big download numbers, so be it. But I think a more natural sounding speech is the way to go. If you don't blend the cuts that you make, it's going to sound choppy. First of all, you might actually cut off part of the word. So mm-hmm. the person stops talking in the middle of the word. Second of all, the inflections might be different. So in some cases, you actually have to add space in between when you cut off one word and when you cut off another word. And there are so many tricks with this. If you find a spot to cut with two S sounds, you can cut it in the middle of the two S sounds mm-hmm. as long as the S sounds are the same. Fs, THs, they're all the same like that. But if you do that hard cut and you don't do anything to reduce the volume and pick it back up later, it's just going to sound really bad.
Absolutely. And the other thing as well is sometimes if you have that noise in your track, you sometimes need to actually mix the two together. Sometimes with different, it's different depending on your audio software that you use. But sometimes what it is essentially you're taking one piece and you're lining it up back to back. And so then it's literally go, okay, clip A, switch to clip B. Now, sometimes you mix the two, so they're kind of blended together. So essentially clip A is fading out as clip B is fading in. And if you have different background noise, sometimes you have to make sure to pay attention to that, because if all of a sudden you're going from having a certain person talking to a lot of people talking in the background, you're going to notice that. So there, you got to be careful with as far as whether or not it's a hard cut or a soft cut. And what I've got here is a couple of clips to demonstrate. The first one, you're going to hear a very, very familiar clip, but it's missing something now, and it's a soft cut. And then you're going to hear a hard cut, just to, again, demonstrate how important it is to watch your cuts.
All right, so for our main topic, what is it? What is it that Steven and SP say you should always do?
It's editing. See? Oh, I was missing something. I went right to the end there. Oh,
yeah, I see.
And let's go with the rough cut.
All right. So for our main topic, what did I tease? What is it? What is it that Steven and SP say you should always do?
It's editing. And that will take your listener out of it. How obvious is that? So again, a real sample. And I've heard this stuff. You might think, Steven, you're being extreme. No, I'm not being extreme. I hear this stuff all the time. I pick out editing points all the time because people are sloppy with their cuts.
You know, one of the shows that I know you love to watch, I watch it every once in a while with the wife and the kids in the house. It's The Bachelor. And I hear The Bachelorette too, by the way. I hear when they're doing their voiceover cuts and back and forth, I now know exactly what they're doing. They're frank and biting the people, and I can hear when those edits occur. Now, they do it for time. They do it for to modify what the person is actually talking, but I can pick those out. Even on TV, I can hear that. And
yes,
that is why when movies go to completion, they actually go into the sound booth and do what's called ADR in order to get the voice correct across what they are saying.
Yeah.
What Steven did, I hear more and more and more in podcasts because they're trying to get out a very succinct message, taking out all the ums, you knows, and every crutch word out there. And what they end up doing is a hard cut, and the inflection, the pitch of the person will change from when they stopped and then when they pick up again. Or maybe they're editing out minutes of content and they come back in and the person is in an entirely different state of mind and you can hear it in their voice. This is my biggest pet peeve.
Me too.
With podcasts, after I've gone in and edited, it's just very poor, choppy editing choices. But you always have to balance time with perfection.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to say it's wrong. It just bugs me because I do it every week.
Yeah.
And again, this is SP's coming at it from the production standpoint, not necessarily from the listener standpoint. I do listen to podcasts, but I can't turn that part of my brain off. I hear it all the time.
Yeah. And I think when we look at it, it's like, as a listener, let's say that was happened, that rough cut happened because you were removing an Would the listener rather hear an or that? I think they would rather hear the because that is just distracting with the weird half cut, and the people do it all the time. So watch it. Be careful with it. And sometimes, you know, I've done it before where I've actually been like, I'm going to pull this section out and it doesn't edit together. And I'm like, okay, I'm going to leave it. I've made the decision. I'm going to leave it because it's a smoother experience. So be careful with that. And the last thing that we want to sample for you is one of my favorite toys, if used properly. This is echo removal. We've all heard about how people go and they make themselves sound like they're in a hall. Well, what if you're in a hall and you want to make it not sound like that? Well, big star on that, because the same way that we've demonstrated it all today, you can do it too much. And there are plugins out there that will remove. One of the biggest ones that out there is called Deverb, D-E-V-E-R-B. And it is a plugin that is paid. It's made, I believe, at SPL. SPL is the name of it. And you can find it at Plugin Alliance. Now, this actually can work really well if applied properly, but you have to be gentle with it. And if you do too much, again, it starts to sound distorted. And it is quite an expensive plugin, maybe not compared to other things, but for a simple removal tool, it is quite expensive. Now, I managed to get mine on sale. It's one that I do encourage people just to have on hand if they can get it on sale for cheap, comes on time on sale a couple times a year because you never know when it will save your bacon to a degree. So what I've done is I've actually gone and I've prepared, and don't worry, you don't have to hear me anymore. It's actually a clip from some voice work follow-up that Steve Boyd did for me for the GunnaGeek.com show. So I'm going to show, there's quite a bit of echo in there, and I'm going to give you a couple different samples. Now, you'll hear at first the baseline, which has the echo, then you'll hear when I've applied a little bit of echo removal, and then you'll hear when I've done it quite a bit. And I actually think that if I put more time into this, I could actually make it sound even better because there is a bit of a balance. But let's just play it so you can hear what this plugin does. Here's the bass.
While you may know that Chris loves phones, tablets, and other gadgets, did you know that he's also a master tap dancer?
So you can hear there's a room noise. You know, he did this on a condenser and it sounds like maybe it was a little bit further away from him.
It sounded like he was actually recording it from a tap dancing stage.
And maybe he was. That could very well be. So let's go ahead and play one where now I've applied this SPL D-verb a little bit.
While you may know that Chris loves phones, tablets, and other gadgets, did you know that he's also a master tap dancer?
So quite a bit less. Now, the thing is it is a plugin that's clearly analyzing because it actually, you can hear as you go through, it gets a little bit better. It starts off a little bit more echoey and then it kind of closes in. And now I'll show you where I've just cranked it up.
While you may know that Chris loves phones, tablets, and other gadgets, did you know that he's also a master tap dancer?
So you're getting some distortion there, and it's just a great example again on how you can do things too much. Doesn't matter the plugin, the bottom line is you got to find that sweet spot so that it does sound natural. So we wanted to go ahead and demonstrate these for you here. Like I said, I think that the D-verb plugin is something that might save your bacon. It's actually done it for me in recent where there was somebody that had their microphone must just been a little bit further away. And I just added just a little bit and you couldn't even tell, but it just sounded a night and day difference, especially because everybody else was using a dynamic microphone on that episode close to them. So it just helped them blend in a little bit better.
Right. So we've taken you through several different versions of editing and post-processing plugins and effects. So noise reduction, noise gating, compression, equalization, cutting, or your hard edits, soft edits, and echo removal. So if you have any questions about those or want us to talk about anything specifically, please get a hold of us at Better Podcasting. On Facebook, facebook.com/betterpodcasting, on Twitter at betterpod, and email us podcast@betterpodcasting.com.
Welcome to this week's Better Podcasting Download.
Okay, we're back. Back again to talk about SoundCloud. Why are we talking about SoundCloud again today? Well, SoundCloud is in the news. Now, before we get into what the actual SoundCloud news is, we want to reiterate something here right at the start there. A lot of people use SoundCloud to do their podcast. A lot of people have been on there for a while, and some people quite regularly talk about hosting with SoundCloud. If you're on any of the Facebook or Google Plus groups, probably you see this once a week where somebody's asking about whether or not they should use SoundCloud. SP and I want to make it very clear. No, we say don't
that do
is
it.
That is our solid recommendation, and we're going to explain a little bit further why. Well, number one, we've talked about it before, SoundCloud has had financial troubles, right, SP?
Yeah, so in the past 2 years, they have lost $77 million. Lost 2 years, $77 million. That's probably more than I'll make in my lifetime, many, many times over. And so several people have tried to step in and help out. First of all, Twitter earlier this year said they were investing $70 million into SoundCloud. And I think they were trying to compile the two companies, which, depending on how you look at it, both of them may have their own financial difficulties or not. And they were trying to come out with a product that was better for the both of them. So $70 million from a company that's in trouble to another company that's definitely in trouble is kind of a red flag to me. Well, then a few months ago, Spotify came in and said, hey, we're going to look at acquiring SoundCloud, which to everybody, we were like, really? Okay, well, man, that might actually bolster SoundCloud into the realm of something that we might consider as a plausible media host to go along with Blueberry, Libsyn, and Podbean are the three main ones that we say go host your media at if you don't self-host. And we thought, maybe that would be something that we could do. However, a couple of days ago, on December 9th, 2016, Engadget ran a report saying Spotify is not acquiring SoundCloud after all. So they have basically pulled out of talks, according to sources close to the negotiations, and it's just not going to happen. So let's take a look at what's happened. They've lost $77 million. They've had an investment with another company that, depending on how you want to look at Twitter, is not exactly the financial king of the social media world. And now somebody has gone in to try to buy them and pulled out again. Look, if you're looking at the long term for podcast hosting for your podcast, if you don't want to screw around with the RSS redirects in the future, do not host your podcast on SoundCloud. At some point, SoundCloud, if this keeps on going the way it is, and I have not seen anything to turn their course, they will end up closing maybe overnight. I mean, we had that similar thing happen with Blab recently this year, where in the late summer, early fall timeframe, around September timeframe, they basically said, nope, we're closing our doors. That's it. We talked about it on this podcast before. It didn't exactly have RSS feeds associated with that platform, but this, with the RSS feeds on SoundCloud and all your media hosted there, guys, I just wouldn't do it. I would go somewhere. If you want to do it for a secondary host, kind of like we do for this podcast, and we secondarily host our stuff on Spreaker, yeah, go ahead. But don't use it for your main host. Don't use it for your RSS feed. You will get burned eventually. That is what we are telling you. Yeah. It is a bad podcasting decision.
I agree. And the thing is, a lot of people are with SoundCloud right now because, you know, that's how they started. And that's fair. But just keep in mind the risks, right? Because, you know, obviously we've talked about moving your RSS feed, how there could definitely be a problem with that. And if you're at the point where you are willing to accept that move, maybe that is something that if you're still sort of starting out, maybe you want to just cut your losses now and move things along. Just make some announcements, maybe. You could lead up to it. You could tell people, okay, so we're going to move over officially as of this day. We'll make sure to tell you, update your RSS feeds then, because you want to weigh the pros and cons. And would it be better to make the move now where you can actually talk to your audience a little bit? Maybe you can keep releasing in the meantime some reminders, you know, your existing one. Or do you want to wait, and if they just go under, they just go under? Because that could happen. If they just go under, you might all of a sudden all your feeds down and all of your stuff, and now you're scrambling along with a lot of other people. So I encourage you to look at this if you are using SoundCloud now and think a little bit about, should I make the move? Maybe you're quite comfortable waiting and seeing and hoping for the best. You know, you got to make that decision. It's up to you. But if you're starting out, SP and I definitely say don't use SoundCloud.
So the real big reason why we will recommend not to use SoundCloud is actual legal issues. So the great thing about SoundCloud is they'll allow anybody to upload music into SoundCloud. So if you're a producer, this is great because you can get your stuff in SoundCloud and anybody the world wide over can actually hear it. And it's a platform with a lot of users. I get all that. Well, anybody remember Napster? I wasn't exactly a user of Napster, but a lot of my friends were. That closed overnight. And why? Because of legal challenges to the music that was uploaded there. And legitimately, it was a free-for-all file sharing service, so you could get music for free via Napster. The music industry as a whole shut that down. There are issues with SoundCloud, and unless SoundCloud can go in and do what YouTube does and monetize or remove copyrighted material back to their owner, then it's just going to continue to be worse and worse and worse. And If SoundCloud can fix stuff, great. But I haven't seen anything for them to actually right the ship. It's just been business as usual, and they're just pouring money into something that's losing money. I mean, that just doesn't sound like a smart business decision to me. Yeah. But then again, I'm never going to make $77 million in my life. So maybe I'm not the person that you should be listening to business advice for.
Yeah, no, that's fair. So we just wanted to touch base on that because it is another update with SoundCloud. And I have a feeling we're going to keep seeing more. It's just they keep coming out. So there you go. Do with it as you'd like. And if you have any questions, let us know. Again, that's podcast at betterpodcasting.com as well. You can just tweet us, Facebook us, whatever. We'll be happy to address your questions. But that is taking us towards the end of the show. Before we wrap up, we want to remind everybody that we're hoping that you tell us what's on your wish list this holiday, winter, Christmas, festivus season, because we want to share that with everybody else. Maybe you'll help plant some seeds with somebody else and maybe make somebody's Christmas phenomenal because they won't realize that they need to buy something that they didn't know that they needed. And so please do email us. It's podcast at betterpodcasting.com. Again, twitter.com/betterpod, facebook.com/betterpodcasting, any of these ways. And here's the thing. You heard us recently talk about having a break around Christmas, and we're big advocates for it. Well, shockingly, we're going to be doing that. So while you'll hear us only miss 1 week over the Christmas festivus winter season, we will be absolutely re-recording one of our episodes so that us ourselves get a bit longer of a break. So what this means to you is you got to get us your feedback before December 15th, because after that, who knows? You might have time to squeeze it in. You might not, but we know if you get it to us before December 15th, we will get it on before the end of the year. So if you got anything you want to say before the end of the year and you want to make sure to us to blast it to the masses, please do get that into us before December 15th. So for episode 58 of Better Podcasting, it's editing.
And I'm Stargate Pioneer saying we recommend editing your podcast and stay away from SoundCloud. See you guys next week. Bye.
Thank you for listening to another episode of Better Podcasting. We want to hear from you. You can find all of our contact information at betterpodcasting.com. If you like the show, please consider giving us a 5-star review in iTunes. We encourage you to check out all of the other geeky podcasts available at GunnaGeekNetwork.com. This has been a Gunna Geek production. Thanks for listening, and we will see you again next week.